your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Welcome back, fellow traders. This is Paula T. Webb, bringing you the best of the best in the new age of trading psychology. Continuing the work that Mark Douglas and I began quite a few years ago. It is December 8, 2024, and we are happy to be hosted by WBGSradio.com because it's a great place to be. So as usual, we will start off today's show with some housekeeping. And I know a lot of you guys say, please don't use housekeeping because that's a girly word, but it is. It's housekeeping. Office keeping, let's put it that way. Okay, so first of all, again, thank you to those of you who have bought our new books. Thank you for the great reviews. We really appreciate it. The books are rocking and rolling, and we'll continue to bring you more new material. So we really appreciate your support. We really do. Second of all, we're going to go over some typical emails that traders send in that either are ridiculous or they don't make sense. And I really feel that I need to talk to you guys about this, at least in this segment, because, you know, I tell you to contact us with your questions. Excuse me. But the way that some of these questions are written and sent to us is, I'm trying to think of a nice way of putting it, they don't make any sense, or they're incomplete, or I don't even know what you're asking. So here's a typical email. It'll be from somebody with no last name, you know, no address, no country, no city, no phone number, nothing. Let's just say it's Joe. And it'll do, you know, a couple words. I need an edge. Okay. Well, most traders need an edge. But what is that supposed to mean to me? What is that those four words from Joe, anonymous, what am I supposed to take away from that? And what am I supposed to provide to Joe Anonymous? Now for you guys listening out there, feel free to send me an email and explain to me how I'm supposed to respond to that. There's no information about how long they've been trading. Are they trading part-time, full-time? You know, what markets are they trading? What methodology are they using? So, you know, how am I supposed to answer that? You know, guys, I sit here week in and week out and on my Twitter feed several times a week, and I talk about how traders have to learn how to think. And this is exactly why. Okay? If you can't explain to me what you're looking for, other than some vague notion of, well, I need an edge, how can I respond appropriately? How can I help you? It's like, I can't read into those four words and say, well, you know, what kind of an edge? You know, an edge for a certain market, or, you know, just to get started. You know, I don't know anything about you, whoever you are sending the email. And I'm not asking you to send me your life history, because that's the next example we'll go over. But, you know, you have to give me something to work on. You know, there is a basic premise on how to create an edge, but it's still predicated on what you're doing, what you're currently doing. Are you trading part-time, full-time? Like I said a few moments ago, you know, what have you tried already? Or have you tried already? So when you reach out to me, please think about what you're asking, okay? I'm not inside your head, and I never will be. So you may think you're being clear, but that statement, I need an edge, means nothing. All right. We're not sitting across the table from each other. You're not at one of my workshops where I can immediately say to you, well, what do you mean by that? What when you need an edge, what are you looking for from me? And I'm not about to go back and forth with multiple emails, basically pulling your teeth to try and extrapolate what it is you want or what you think you need. I'm here to help you. Absolutely. 110%. This is my passion. This is my mission. But I can't help you if you don't ask me explicitly and effectively and proficiently and professionally what it is you need from me, if anything. I mean, to me, getting this anonymous email from, you know, this guy named Joe, I need an edge. Okay. Well, good for you. You know, I need a Rolls Royce. You know, I mean, that's basically the statement you're saying. And all you're putting out to the universe is you need an edge. There's no question there. It's just a flat statement. Now, I didn't think I had to go over this with you guys, but apparently I do because I keep getting these kind of emails and I can't answer that. And then I write back and say, thank you for your inquiry. However, I'm not quite sure what it is you're asking. Can you give us more detail? And then you don't write back and you think I'm blowing you off. And then you put a negative comment on the internet. Now, I don't think that's fair and I don't think that's appropriate. So if you're not doing your job to ask me correctly or, you know, in some fashion, and then I have to write back and say, please explain yourself in more detail, which I think is pretty fair. You know, I'm just asking you to explain yourself. And you can't explain yourself and then you trash me on the internet. That is completely inappropriate. Just because you can't explain yourself is not my fault. And like I said last week, I'm going to call you out on it like I am here today. So Joe, whoever you are, I wrote you back and I said, please explain yourself in more detail. What is it that you're looking for? And you did nothing but put something on a certain website, which I won't mention. Okay, it's YouTube. And said that I wouldn't work with you when all I did was ask you for more information. So Joe has a chat room. And my guess is that he wanted an answer for the members of his chat room. And that's all well and good. But just ask me, okay? Joe, you have a chat room? You want an answer from me to give to your people? Then be respectful and ask me. Say, hey, I've got this chat room. A lot of my guys are asking how to create an edge. Can you help us out? And I'd say, sure. How about if I come into the chat room and work with your guys? Real simple. It's a win-win for everyone. So keep that in mind, guys. If you're just going to send these four words or whatever and expect, you know, a whole page in description to post in your chat room or to say in your chat room as if you wrote it, it's not going to happen. I'm way ahead of you on this, guys. Okay, been around a lot longer than any of you. So you want an answer? Then write a good question. So that's where we're at on that one. And then you know, a lot of you other guys, you send me this long, lengthy email describing every single trade that you've made in the last 6 months or a year. As Mark and I used to, you know, you like to call it the minutiae of trading. And there's no question. There's no question there. You talked all about your trading errors and, you know, how you got in too early, too late, you know, fear of missing out, left money on the table, whatever it is. And you're detailing, well, I got in at this price, I got out at that price, and I had this number of contracts on and this number of pips went by, blah, 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 blah. I'm reading the whole thing, which is, you know, 10, 15, 20 paragraphs, and I get to the end and it says, thank you. And they sign off. There's no question. So I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from that, guys. So, you know, help me out here. okay? If you don't know what you want from me, how can I help you? That's the way it works. So you may think that you're being very specific, but it doesn't matter what trade you're taking. It doesn't matter, you know, where you got in, where you got out. What is the question? And I'm taking up this whole segment because this is really important to me, guys. I'm here to answer your questions. And if you don't ask a question, then I can't answer you. Or if you go on and on about all these trades without a question about those trades, I don't know what your intent is. Am I supposed to come back and say, well, you're over trading, or, you know, get over your fear of loss, you know, whatever. I'm not going to assume anything about what you are looking for. And no decent trading coach would. So before you send the email, ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, am I being clear as to what kind of answer I am looking for from Paula? That's pretty simple, okay? What am I asking Paula to give me an answer for? What am I seeking from Paula about my trading challenges? Okay? That's pretty simple. So please stop and think about what it is, what answer you're looking for whatever challenges you're having. And I'll be more than happy to answer that. Okay? So, you know, yes, I'm taking up this whole segment to bring this home because I'm frustrated. Because I can't answer, or I can't even make a comment because I'm not sure what it is you want. So think about what you want before you write me, please. Okay? So me or Adam or anybody else here is, you know, can answer or provide you with information that you're looking for. Okay? All right. So thanks for letting me explain that. And I hope that's pretty clear. Hopefully this will, swap up any misconceptions. So think about that, and we will be back after a break. Okay, we're back. Now, this next segment, I am going to go over another email that I got because I want to bring home another point. And it's not, you know, to bust your chops about not being clear. This is a different tactic from a lot of traders out there. We get a lot of emails. We have always gotten lots of emails, even when Mark was still around, from traders who would say, oh yeah, we read your book. Okay. First of all, we don't know which book that is. And then they go on to say, yeah, we read it a year ago, or I read it a year ago, or maybe 3 years ago, or however long it is. But just already from those two or three sentences, I already know they haven't even read the book completely. More than likely, whatever book they have, whether it's The Disciplined Trader, Trading in the Zone, or The Key to Power Profits, or any of my other books, Championship Spirit, or Success Without Fear, it doesn't really matter which book it is. The point is, I know they haven't read it. They probably opened it, started reading it, and put it down because they probably had a winning streak. And then they didn't. And then it became a boom and buster. And because they got caught in that cycle, they never went back and finished whatever book it is that they claimed that they got. Okay? So a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, I'm having trouble in my trading. I can't follow through. Moving my stops, you know, whatever their challenges are. And then you know, like the most recent email, this trader wrote and said, yeah, I have a side hustle of trading because I have another business. And my side hustle of trading, you know, I'm trading 40 hours a week. Okay, well, 40 hours a week is not a side hustle. I mean, 40-hour, that's a normal work week. Okay, so, you know, if you're putting in 40 hours a week with your trading, then how much time could you be giving your main business, which is, you know, paying all your bills, your lifestyle, your overhead, and has funded your trading account? Now think about this, guys. Now think about the words that this trader used. I have a side hustle. Who says that about trading? I didn't even get that. You know, I get that's like, oh, some contemporary thing. You see it on social media all the time. Oh, this teacher has a side hustle and she's pulling in 10 grand a month. No. Trading is not a side hustle. And get that through your brains. Because when you look at trading as a side hustle, it is, you are no longer focused and you are no longer thinking like a winner. Period. Trading is not a side hustle. It's a business. Okay? And this isn't just, you know, popular vernacular. The word hustle in today's society is not the same as it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or even when our parents were out there. When you hustled, you got ahead. A side hustle is something less important. Period. Okay? Otherwise, it would be your business. He would say, yes, I have another business, and that's trading. Not a side hustle. Now, don't come back to me with emails this week and saying, oh my God, you're so out of touch. No, I am not out of touch. This is business. This is business. And if you don't give 100% to your trading, and you don't give 100% to the business that you currently are in while learning how to trade, then you will never win at either one. So this trader went on to say, yes, well, I read Trading in the Zone about a year ago. And then he went on to explain how the side hustle, he's not making it at the side hustle of trading, and the same problems that he's having in his main business are the same problems he's having with his trading. So all that tells me is he's not giving 100% focus to either one of them, whether it's trading or his other business. So the point is I knew that he had not read Trading in the Zone, because if he had read Trading in the Zone, that probably would have cleared up whatever challenges he's having with his main business, and it certainly would have helped him with any challenges becoming a trader, if he had read the book and applied the principles. So he didn't. He didn't read the book, or at the very minimum, let's say he read it, but he didn't incorporate it or instill it into his thought processes. So the next thing he says is he asks me to give him, this is like blowing my mind, okay? He asks me to give him a referral to an experienced, successful trading coach. I'm like, what? I mean, I had to read this like five times. I did not believe this guy was so clueless as to what he was writing to ask me for a referral for a trading coach. I'm just amazed. So of course that just showed me, it just confirmed that he had not read Trading in the Zone, and he sure as hell didn't even know who I was or what office he was writing to. He was so out of touch with his own thoughts because he owns another business and he owns that. And so he thinks he already knows everything. This is the way it works, guys. Okay. You cannot transfer one mindset from a different type of business into trading and think you're so good at this other business and then come to, you know, email our office and think that I'm not going to see through what you've written. I mean, it's just amazing. So, of course, I wrote the guy back and I said, you haven't read the book. You don't even know who we are. So get it together. So, you know, pay attention to what you're writing. Pay attention to your business that funded your trading account. And stop trading until you figure out what it is you want. And as for any referral to another trading coach, I don't think so. We're the ones, Mark Douglas and I and Van Tharp, created the whole trading coach genre. Okay? That's it. Us three, way back when. So you're talking to the creators. You're talking to the originators. And this is not smoke here, guys. These are facts. There was no such thing as trading coaches before we were on the scene and before Van Tharp and we wrote our books. So get that through your brains. So this is the source. So if you write to my office and ask for a referral to a trading coach, I'm going to bust your chops and I'm going to call you out on it because that's ridiculous. And it makes you look like a fool. It really does. I'm sorry for you. It's just not going to happen, okay? You want to work with the best of the best, this is it, right here. That's it. And as for the guy who asked for a trading coach referral or a therapist, unfortunately, Van Tharp is no longer with us because otherwise I might have referred you to him, which I have countless times over the years to other traders because they wanted that type of approach, the clinical approach. But don't contact my office and ask me for referrals to trading coaches, because it really makes you look uninformed, and you probably shouldn't be trading. So think about what you're asking. Again, this is going back to the first segment. Think about what you're asking. And, you know, if I wasn't as spiritually evolved as I really feel that I am, anybody else would have been insulted. I'm not insulted. I'm embarrassed for you, for those of you who write and ask for referrals. That's ridiculous. And it just shows, you know, how little connection you have to the world of trading. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with your mindset, because you don't know how to think like a trader, and you don't know how to think about who you're contacting to get information from. So stop and think before you write us. You know, you might get a good answer. You might get the answer you're looking for. Well, there's no might about it. I know I'll give you the answer you're looking for. And unfortunately, you know, for those of you who ask for referrals, that's the answer you're going to get. We don't do referrals to other coaches. Okay? Go look on the internet. There's tons of them. So I'm not saying this to bust your chops, except to remind you to think before you speak. That's a ages old, you know, statement, but think before you speak, before you write. Because we're here to help. All right? Okay, so I'm going to leave you with this quote before we leave this segment. And just remember, a winner works harder than a loser. But a loser is always too busy to do what is necessary. And those kind of emails to us is an exact example of a loser. You're too busy to do what is necessary. You want it handed to you. And we're not here to do that. Okay, we'll be right back after this break.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, so the first two segments, I understand why it's happening, guys, and I'm going to give you some examples here as to why you're not focused. You know, throughout time, and especially since the 1980s, early 90s, with what was called the New Age movement, like with movies like The Secret and What the Bleep and all that kind of stuff, the general public, whether they're traders or not, have been given these, you know, one or two sentence platitudes. Like the movie The Secret was, and I know I've talked about this before, but it really did a lot of damage to people, because you had all these wealthy people that were part of the movie, And all they kept repeating was, you know, pray on it and it'll happen. You know, pray and it'll manifest. Well, that's not the way it works, guys. Okay, you have to learn how to think first. And most people, which I have found in the 25 years I've been an interfaith minister, you know, I've learned that most people don't know how to pray. We know prayers and we can say them verbatim because they've been taught to us, but we don't know how to pray for ourselves. Because basically, we're not taught that it's okay to do that. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've given the example of, I have a friend, and she is a, she's retired now, but she was a, the person who stages homes for realtors, and she was really good at it. She went to decorating school and, or whatever it's called, and interior design, sorry. And so she made a lot of money, okay? And then she retired, and she just did, then she did real estate on the side. But her income fell so drastically because she wasn't an interior decorator anymore. And she, you know, she was surprised at how she had to adjust her lifestyle. And she had subscribed to Napoleon Hill and, you know, Neil Donald Walsh and, you know, a lot of these channelers and New Age type influencers, to use a modern word. And although these people have a lot of good information, the missing element, in my estimation, is that if someone doesn't know how to pray, if someone doesn't know how to create an affirmation, if someone doesn't know what their intent is, then it wouldn't matter how many times they read a book or listened to a recording from anyone, including myself, if they don't know how to create themselves. Okay? So my point is, there's a well-known quote by Marcus Aurelius. And Marcus Aurelius, of course, was an ancient Roman statesman. And he wrote, "Remember this, very little is needed to make a happy life." That's in from his personal chronicle entitled Meditations. Now, I get that. No, you don't need a lot. But, you know, like most people, I like having a lot. Okay? I've said to you guys many times, I have no problem making tons of money because I enjoy my lifestyle. Do I have an ostentatious lifestyle? No, I do not. For all intents and purposes, I probably look middle class, but I have designer clothes, I have plenty of jewelry, I drive a BMW, you know, I host a lot of parties, I have a lot of fun, you know, I fund my charities. Everything that I have set out to do in my life, I have accomplished. Now, compared to other people, yeah, it's probably very little, but to me, it's a lot. So we can't just read that statement, "Remember this, very little is needed to make a happy life," and think, "Oh my God, I guess I want too much," because that sets up conflicting beliefs. Oh, well, you know, all these people are saying you don't need much to be happy, but I want more. And this is where the conflict steps in. And this is why countless traders will email my office asking, or thinking they're asking for something, but the point is they're not asking for anything because they don't even know what they want, because they don't know how to think for themselves, because they don't know how to create what they want through their thoughts. Now, I hardly think that Marcus Aurelius, this Roman statesman, was poor. Okay? So here you have a famous philosopher stating very little is needed to be happy, because he already had everything he wanted, for heaven's sakes. Now think about this, guys. It's easy for someone who is already wealthy to make a claim that you don't need much to be satisfied. Right? You don't need much to be satisfied. They can say that because they already have everything they set out to get. Okay? Now think about this, guys. This is this is all what it's all about, is learning how to think. Another example is Mother Teresa. Now, most people would think, okay, she lived a humble existence in the poorest areas in India, taking care of people who had little to nothing, people that no one else wanted to have anything to do with. Now, I have read her books, her meditations, and the theme throughout all her written material is love. Love conquers all. Now, we've all heard that statement. There is only love. Give love and you will be happy. And so on. Well, love doesn't pay the bills now, does it? And I'll give you another example with Mahatma Gandhi. He appeared to live a humble life as well. I have his prayer books as well, and some of those prayers say to God that Gandhi himself is, quote, nothing. This is another set of examples of creating conflicting beliefs, because we are not inside the mind of Marcus Aurelius. We're not inside the mind of Mother Teresa. We're not inside the mind of Gandhi. So if you're telling God you are nothing or little or humble and you don't need much to be happy and there is only love, then what do you think God or the universe is going to provide you with? Unlimited wealth as a trader? No. As I stated previously, the universe is a huge copy machine. So is God. He hears what you say, and he's going to give back to you what you ask him for, what you put out. If you claim you are unworthy or don't need much, that you don't succeed at trading, then that's the energy that you're putting out. So with Marcus Aurelius, with that phrase, he was stating that he was content. Let's extrapolate this from what he's saying. He could say emphatically that he didn't need much to be happy. He could say that because he believed that, because more than likely, of course, I don't know because I didn't live back then, but I'm based on other historical data about him, we can probably agree that he had already achieved everything he had set out to accomplish. So once his goals were met, yes, he could look back and say, I don't need that much to be happy. The point is, more than likely, he had already accomplished all he set out to do when he was writing his meditations, which were long after the fact when he was a Roman senator. With Mother Teresa, she could say all there is to life is love. Why? Because all her needs were met. What she decided her needs were. She had housing, food, clothing. She was driven everywhere and flown around the world. Stayed in 5-star hotels and met with heads of state. So what was she lacking? She had already given her life to God as a nun. So spiritually, she was free to pursue her goal of helping the most needy. And along the way, her energy of pure love drew other people into her life to help her accomplish her missions. Now again, once she achieved what she set out to do because she was connected to her deep relationship with God, knowing that he was the one guiding her. And therefore, she could say it's all about love because God is love. Now, for Gandhi, all you have to do is watch the biography about his life, the popular 1982 movie, Gandhi, with actor Ben Kingsley, to see that Gandhi also set in motion, to the best of his abilities, a peaceable way towards independence for India. Now, you could look at the surface and think, oh, he has nothing. And yet again, all his needs were met by others he brought into his goals, by his focused energy, by his intent. He had housing, he had cooks, he had servers. He never lacked for basic needs, and he was applauded by countless world leaders as a man of grace and God. Now, if he truly were nothing, as he claims in his prayers to God, he could never have accomplished what he did. What he was saying, and I'm extrapolating here, guys, what I believe he was saying was that he could not do what he was doing without God as his pilot. In other words, both Mother Teresa and Gandhi are giving us the answer as to how to achieve our goals in their own vernacular. We as traders have to extrapolate the meaning of their terminology and compare that to our own definitions of similar words. So what I'm saying here, guys, is you have to be at one with your relationship with God. You have to trust in Him to guide your thoughts. You have to allow Him in to guide you to consistent profit-taking. This is the way it works, guys. If you don't believe in any higher power, if you don't believe in anything other than technical analysis, then you can't make it as a trader. You have to believe, number one, in yourself, and you have to believe that God wants you to be as prosperous as you want to be. If there's any conflict in that area, then you're going to be a boom and buster the rest of your trading career. You may never go broke, but you won't achieve the types of results that you want. So think about this as we go into the break. Think about your connection to God. Do you believe He really wants you to be a successful trader? If you don't, then write down why. Okay? Just ask yourself, why don't I think God wants me to be prosperous as a trader? And we'll continue on this thread after the break. Okay, we're back. So the reason that I'm explaining all this to you guys is I don't think you guys have a fundamental approach or understanding to this philosophy of, you know, empirically proven mental skill sets that really are key to you approaching your trading like a winner. You know, the first two segments were about, you know, traders that couldn't even ask us what they want, or they want us to refer them out to other coaches. It's really sad because you guys don't even know that you're not thinking clearly. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Because, as I've said before, at any other job, you can multitask. You don't necessarily have to think anything through to the nth degree, to the deep core level of your being to know what you think. You don't have to do that because you're working for someone else, or maybe you own a business or a practice, and you're the boss, okay? And that's a real black and white set of parameters. When you get into trading, that's blown out of the water. Nothing in any other business, no other business on the planet prepares us to be traders, because trading is the ultimate form of self-creation. We have to know what we think. We have to know what we believe. We have to shed and deflate any conflicting beliefs about money, making money, having more money than we've ever had, and growing that money, and believing that we earned it and that we deserve it. That's the way it works. I'm going to give you another quote. This is from the book Winners and Losers by Sidney J. Harris. He was a syndicated columnist in Chicago when Mark and I lived there. He was a great guy, really, really talented. Get a copy of this little book you're really going to enjoy it. There's just every page, there's just a little quote on it, and it'll really help you stay focused. So Sydney writes, a winner goes through a problem. A loser goes around it and never gets past it. How many of you traders call me up or write to me and say, I keep making the same mistakes over and over? I'm going to say this quote to you again for those of you that have said that to me. A winner goes through a problem. A loser goes around it and never gets past it. If you keep making the same mistakes over and over, then you're not working through it. You're trying to avoid it. That's the way it works, guys. Now, I know a lot of you think, I don't have the time to do this mental work. I've heard that countless times, right? Well, if you don't have the time to work on yourself, then don't expect to be a winning trader. Certainly not consistently. If you don't have the time to figure out what you think, what you believe, what your intent is with your trading, then why would you expect your results to be consistent? That's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd to even think that you could make consistent results. My goodness. Now, you know, we can take this a step further, because if you have an unclear or undecided mental path or don't know what your intent is when it comes to how you're going to take profit as a trader or accumulate it, rather, if you have no clear intent about taking a certain or set amount of profit at any given moment as it makes itself available to you on any given day while trading, then how can you think you'll be able to make and keep a steadily increasing equity curve? Especially if you're subscribing to phrases that we said in the last two segments that don't necessarily have a positive or clear meaning to you. Now think about this. If you're just going to subscribe to these, you know, one or two sentences, you know, from the movie The Secret, or, you know, Gandhi or Mother Teresa or anybody, okay, it could be anybody, or your pastor or your rabbi or whatever, and not think about what they are saying or how it is, you know, trickle down into your belief systems, then how do you think you can create trading wealth? This is why I do what I do, to help you traders understand the necessity to learn how to think for yourselves, to create and grow your trading wealth. This is what it means to have dominion with your profits. Now think about this, guys. So, I want you to take the next week and I want you to make a list of what you think about anything. It could be, what do I think about my family? What do I think about my house? What do I think about my car? What do I think about my friends? Make a list. Am I happy with all of this? Three lists, actually. Am I happy with all of this? Am I unhappy with all of this? What could use improvement? Make a list. And then add in, am I happy with my trading? Am I unhappy with my trading? What could use improvement? You have to start asking yourself these questions. What is my intent in this lifetime? What is it that I intend to accomplish? And not just give it, you know, face time. Not just repeat random statements saying, oh, I'm doing my affirmations. Oh, I'm doing this. You're not doing anything if you don't know what you believe. And certainly if you don't believe God isn't guiding your way. God is there. He's there for the asking. But you have to be open to hearing him, no matter where the answers come from. This is Paula T. Webb, the best of the best, trading psychology. You can reach me at paulatwebb.com, 760-636-4290, through my website, on this radio station, wbgsradio.com. It's a great place to be, and I wish for you a great trading week.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.